Alrighty. Have you turned to Isaiah 55 this morning? Isaiah chapter 55. And we're back to some very simple, elemental things this morning. This will apply, of course, to Christians as well. I was hoping to see Gary this morning, Brother Jeff's friend, but didn't work out. And I know better than to try to sculpt a sermon just for one guy. So that's not what happened. But Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, says there, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, once again we come to you this morning. Again, Father, a lot of these things this morning are things that we know very well, yet how many times have we had to backtrack and realize that we were defeated and on our way down in a down spiral by not doing things that we knew so well that we should be doing. Pray, Father, you'd help us this morning. May we be reminded of these very important things. And Father, if somebody here is lost, may you plainly show them their need for Jesus Christ and for salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, back to something simple and very elemental this morning. Notice there in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Now, let me just concentrate on the four words, "he may be found." You can thank God that you have a God that can be found. In fact, we are told that he's near. He said, "Call ye upon him while he's near." It says in Acts that he be not far from every one of us, right? You have a God that can be found. No man is asked to find the unfindable. No man is asked to go look for something inaccessible or unobtainable. We have a God that can be found, and he may be found, all right? He's immortal. He's invisible. He is a spirit. That much is true. But he is also findable, right? So you have in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Okay, first of all, in order to find him, you must seek him. We'll be talking about that a little bit later, but there is an active role for each man in finding God. He must be sought. He's done all that he can to come and get you, right? He came the first time to save you. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Now you're going to have to seek him, at least in some measure. Furthermore, notice the next little thing here, verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Okay, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He may be found. You've got to seek him, but I'll tell you this. You're going to have to deal with your sin and your wickedness and your unrighteousness. It says there at the end of the verse, "he will abundantly pardon." A pardon belongs to somebody that's transgressed. A pardon belongs to somebody that's done iniquity. If the governor pardons your crime, it's because you did something wrong. And that's the point. Okay, you do have to seek him. He is able to be found. He will be found. But you're going to have to deal with sin. Now, furthermore, verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God, for the umpteenth time, for those of us at Blessed Hope, does not think or do like we think and do. It's natural enough for a man to naturally think that God would do certain things a certain way. As natural as that seems, you can be assured of this: God does not think like you do. He does not do things like you do. As far as you're concerned, he's unpredictable if you're just trying to think what God might do next, because after all, that's what you would do. Well, because that's what you would do probably means that's not what he would do. Okay? So there's that. And lastly, I want to just say, in verse 6, there is a bone-chilling word that we need to deal with this morning. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Okay, now you have a God that may be found. You have a God that's to be found. He is obtainable. He is accessible if you will seek him the right way. But it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That means that there is a statute of limitations on finding him. There is a window that eventually closes on you finding him. Let me show you another bone-chilling couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 1 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, because there may be a day that he cannot be found. Proverbs chapter 1. Go down to verse 28. This is a long line of verses worth several sermons in themselves. But verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Remember what I said about seeking God by acknowledging your sins and wickedness. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's a bone-chilling idea that at some juncture, for every man, woman, and child, the Lord cannot be found. So I would say this, not to overscare, you need to find him before you die. Because once you die, the statute of limitations is up. Anything to be settled eternally will be settled in this life. You only get a chance to do this one time. I'm not saying there's only one opportunity to get saved, but you only get to do this right one time in this life. You have about 60 or 70 years to get it done. You better make sure you have found God in whatever number of years you've been allotted, and you don't know how many you've been allotted. Secondly, I can say this. You need to find him before sin takes control. The Bible says that sin is deceitful, and folks always underestimate the power of sin, the fact that sin can bind, that sin can blind. And I know people that will not deal with the issues of eternity and issues of their sins. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ because their sins have bound them and they will not discuss it. They are unreasonable and wicked men. And I'm not saying they can never get saved. I'm only saying if they're of the mindset like this through the rest of their lives, they're not getting saved. The statute of limitations is up. You need to find God before sin takes over. You need to find the Lord before your heart is hard, before your conscience is seared, and before you no longer are even willing to talk to the Holy Spirit. And I tell you this, you need to find God before the rapture. We live in the latter days here. We hope to be raptured today. I know some people that'd be really happy. I'm among them if we got raptured today. I'm happy to say I have found God, and I'm happy to have my name called and the trumpet blow today. But I want you to know something, folks. The next steps beyond that trumpet are no fun at all for somebody that's left here. You need to make sure and find God before the second coming of Christ. Otherwise, I promise you things are going to be really bad. Now, the title of this message is He May Be Found from Isaiah 55, 6. He may be found, but seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You are going to have to seek him. Okay? So I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about seeking. It is a little known fact in the world. Now maybe it's a better known fact here. It's a little known fact in the world that the Bible plainly proclaims that it proclaims it over and over. You can seek God wrong. You can seek God in the wrong way. Bible says in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Some folks say they have sought God for their whole lives and have never found him. I just want to say, if you've sought God your entire life and he's never been found of you, I dare say you are seeking God wrong. So many religions provide a way for you to seek God wrong, and I want to talk about that for a little while. I want to say before that, though, this morning, lost folks seek God to be saved. And I know that maybe we don't even have lost folks here this morning. So, it is a lifetime pursuit for a Christian to still seek God for fellowship. Okay? I don't know about you, I found God when I was 10 years old. I found the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved. In the meantime, I could busy myself every moment of every day seeking God as a Christian for fellowship. So this applies to you as well. If there's nobody even lost here, this applies to every Christian here. There's a lot that has to be left out because it's too much for one sermon, but I can say this. I want to talk to you about how the Lord must be sought. And it's a preacher's inclination to always take simple things and build up to the grand crescendo at the end and give you the final key to the final lock at the very end of the sermon. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to give you the main thing from the very start. If you want to know how the Lord must be sought, I'll say this. You need to seek Him through Jesus Christ. By the way, that does not change because you're saved. You still have an obligation to God as a saved man, a saved woman, a saved child to seek God for fellowship and friendship. And while you may have found Him through Jesus Christ when you got saved and trusted Christ as your Savior, it's very easy to forget Jesus Christ during the day as a saved sinner. Fact of the matter is, you need to be seeking God through Christ as a saved man, a saved woman. The Bible says something you know plainly. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest unto your soul." We're talking about finding God. Well, you'll find rest, okay? You'll find rest for your souls, it says there. Jesus Christ is the way. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, that works for somebody saved as well as somebody lost, right? If you're going to have fellowship with God, you're going to have to go through Jesus Christ, through His name, to have that fellowship. We seek God through Christ. You have a God that may be found. You have a God that befriended Abraham. You have a God that befriended Enoch. You had a God that spoke with Noah. You had a God that spoke face to face with Moses. I have a God whose Spirit lives in my body. He wants fellowship with me. I'm supposed to seek Him. I'm supposed to find Him. If I'm going to find Him, I have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. It never changes. I seek Him through Jesus Christ. This is not the Jesus of 1,000 rituals. This is not the Jesus where you jump through religious hoops and you find Him that way. This is not the Jesus of the mind-numbing catechisms and masses that some of you attended when you were kids and young people. This is not that Jesus. This is not the Jesus of the Mormons or the JWs. This is not the Jesus of men's imaginations. Jesus is not a hippie. Jesus is not a vegetarian. Jesus is not a sodomite. Jesus is not an environmentalist wacko. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. It's the Jesus of the Bible, okay? It's the Jesus that I read about in the Holy Scriptures. This is the Jesus that died for you personally, bore your sins in His own body on the tree, was buried, and rose again personally for you. This Jesus came to establish, first of all, your salvation with the Father when you got saved. But He came also to establish your fellowship through Himself with the Father after you're saved. You have a God that can be found. He may be found. You better make sure and find Him. If you're going to find Him, you're going to find Him through Jesus Christ. That goes for fellowship as well as salvation. Right? Jesus Christ said this. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That seeking of Jesus Christ is through faith. It doesn't get any simpler. Ladies and gentlemen, I love the verse that says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture." You know, when a kid, somebody as small as a crawling baby, crawling on his hands and knees, realizes that he can only bang into the wall and get so far. He realizes in time that there are passages between rooms, and those passages he learns one day later are called doors. Doors are even understood by toddlers and crawlers. How is it that men don't understand doors spiritually? Don't you find it strange that you, without thinking today, without having to go through calculations and summations in your mind, you figured out a way to come to the front doors and walk through the doors into church? And yet, folks seem to have the hardest time with realizing that Christ is the door. He's the passage. He's the way you get there. He's the way you get saved. And by the way, He's the way you stay in fellowship, by passing over and over again through the door. If you're going to find God, you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. There's something else I wanted you to see. And frankly, I've already given you the key to everything. Again, I was kind of hoping that a lost guy would be here this morning, and so I was going to give him everything within the first 10 minutes. And then if he shut me out and went to sleep, he's free to go because he's got what he needs. So the rest of this that I have is kind of to fill in some blanks around about. I can add some things to it. As long as you understand Jesus Christ is all you need. Jesus Christ is the way to find the God of Israel and of me and you. Jesus Christ is how you seek that God. Now there's this, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, this applies to somebody lost, but it also applies to somebody saved. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. If you're going to find Him, you better seek Him. In fact, if you're going to find Him, you have to seek Him. And I can say you're going to have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. I can also add this without destroying the picture. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, ye shall find. There's finding again. Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. It says there, ask for the old paths. If you're going to find God, you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. And tell you this, you need to seek Him in the old paths as well. It is man's nature to try to improve and enhance and advance things. If I made a widget or a gadget, I would likely in my lifetime find a way somehow to improve something that didn't work perfectly at first. And man has done that with an awful lot of things. We all know all the conveniences that we have. One step leads to another, and sometimes those steps lead badly. But I can tell you this, it has worked well for man in general. I sure am glad to have a washer and dryer. A washer and dryer is better than a big tub of water, a big fire, a washboard, and a clothesline. I sure am glad for washers and dryers. Tell you what, a shot of penicillin sure beats an amputation any day. Huh? How about those January outhouses? Sure is nice to have an indoor bathroom in January. In fact, it's even nice in August. But the point is that man has had great success with improving things and making things new and better. But in making certain things new and better and in advancing, he's become obsessed with things new and advanced and better. So much so that he is still piddling with things that don't need fixing. Like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, I can tell you this. When it comes to the Lord, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to Jesus Christ, everything worked fine from the start. Nothing needed to be fixed. And man has continued to piddle and tinker and diddle with the things of God continually. We are continually having new Bibles come out. There are new gospels that come out. There are new takes and new angles on the gospel that come out. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't need those things. Those things, for a very large portion of the population, has slammed the door on God. I want to say, you better seek Him in the old paths. Okay? Nowadays, churches are zoos. They're circuses. They have a Jesus that in some cases is a rock star, in some cases is a vegetarian, in some cases is a sodomite, in some cases is a guy that married Mary Magdalene. I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, newfangled doesn't work with God and with Christ, with the Bible and the gospel. Nothing can be improved over you being convicted about your sins. Nothing can be improved over you being scared to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Nothing can be improved in that. Nothing can be improved over you feeling bad about yourself in your sin until you come and resolve that sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot improve those things. Man continually wants to improve, make better, make advancements, that sort of thing. Till now you come to a place where you see a picture, a snapshot taken in a modern church service, and there's fog all around and laser lights going off in a rock band on the stage making music that has nothing whatsoever to do with you seeking God. You must seek God in the old paths. The old paths are the best paths. I'll tell you something else about the path. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You have a God that may be found. If you're going to find Him, you're going to find Him through Jesus Christ. I can add to it and say, you best find Him in the old paths. The newfangled paths are no good. Look in Matthew chapter 7. Go down to verse 13. I can say this as well. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be, notice, that find it. I don't want to be amongst those that find it, and what I find is not what I was looking for. Okay? But it says there you can find it. You have a God that may be found. I tell you this, you're going to have to find Him. You're going to have to seek Him through Jesus Christ. You're going to have to seek Him along the old paths. Excuse me. And you're going to have to seek Him in the straight way. It says, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Okay? Just as men are always trying to improve and make better, men are always trying to broaden and make wider and knock down walls and such things. I like wide roads. I like big rooms. I like everybody to be happy. If I can make everybody happy, I would just prefer everybody be happy as not. But the fact of the matter is, that's how I think. And once again, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. And my ways are not your ways. The Lord doesn't look at it like you and I would look at it. I can tell you this. Most religious people in this world today think that God is inclusive. We have now come to a day and age where men have taken a straight, narrow gate wherein, did you know that every man in this world was born one at a time? Now, Kaylin had twins. Barb's had twins. So they're born two at a time, but they don't come out side by side, thank God. They come out one at a time. Every man in this life is born one at a time. All 7 billion of us. I got news for you. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to go in one at a time. And you're one at a time going to walk up to Jesus Christ and say, I believe, help thou my unbelief. One at a time. Just as you're born into this life one at a time, you're born into the next one at a time as well. I just want to say, they have now continually tried to broaden, continually tried to widen, continually tried to knock down the boundaries, the fences, and the way, so that the way is as wide as possible. Okay? Again, I believe that most religious folks that I know think that the way to God is actually much broader than it is. Some folks say just believing in God is enough. We've now come to a day in modern theology where some people think you go to heaven whether you believe anything or not. All I want to say is that that's the broad way. And I just want to say that if you're going to go and find God, you're going to have to seek Him along a narrow way, along a narrow path. The broad, wide, inclusive, popular way is not the way to God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can't go, you can't see it, you're not going to inherit it if you don't go one at a time, if you're not born again into it. You're just not. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I got news for you. That same name will be the one that you're supposed to pray through as a Christian to get fellowship with God. It's a straight way. It's along old paths. It's through Jesus Christ. Look in Matthew chapter 6. There's something else I can add without taking from Christ at all. Maybe it helps somebody somewhere along the way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You have a God that may be found, but you're going to have to seek Him. I tell you this, you're going to have to seek Him first. You're going to have to seek the kingdom of God first. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's this guy in a lifeboat out at sea. He's been days without food. More dangerously, he's been days without water. He would kill. He would do anything for a drink. All that's on his mind is a drink of water and some food. That's the most important, indispensable thing in his mind, water and food. But he falls overboard, and he can't swim. Immediately, the picture changes. Because now, water and food is not the most important thing. Air is. Right? Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, a guy's lost. A guy's lost, and his sins and his lost life have thoroughly cost him, or are costing him, his family and his home. A guy is lost. He has a gambling problem. His gambling problem has cost him almost everything. A man is lost. The IRS is after him. It won't leave him alone. He has no way to get out from under it. That man, those men, because they're lost with problems, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, finally. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that can get them out of this mess. They turn to God to fix the gambling problem eventually, the family problem that's broken, any other thing that you can mention. When a man comes, broken and in misery, to Jesus Christ, there is one danger. There is the danger that he's not seeking first the kingdom. There's always the danger that somebody comes and wants the answer to his problem, and his greatest problem in his mind is his gambling problem, or his family problem, or his money problem with the IRS. I got news for you. If you're not coming for your soul, first of all, if you're not coming for your sin, you're coming for the wrong reason. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You got to seek that first. Not the solution to your problems. Not the solution to your marriage. Not the solution to your money. Not the solution to a dozen other things. I got news for you further. Excuse me, the Lord will not solve your money problems first. I know of rare occasions where somebody got saved and whatever problem it was that broke them to come to Christ and depend on Him, it gets fixed fairly quickly, and that's a blessing when it happens. I got news for you. If you've got family problems, Jesus Christ is not going to solve your family problem like that. If the IRS is after you, the Lord Jesus Christ does not nuke the IRS just because you got saved. Okay, those problems do not go away. Your gambling, pornography, dope addiction does not go away just because you got saved or just because you got right. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is if you're not careful, if you don't come with a right heart, you come expecting the Lord to fix your problem. And He does fix your sin problem. He does fix your eternity problem. But maybe He doesn't fix the IRS problem. Maybe you're in court with the IRS for the next 10 years. If you're not careful, you get off track. There's a trap there. Because you must seek first the kingdom of God. Right? I can add this further. Take your Bibles and turn real quick to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. You have a God that can be found. He must be sought, though. You've got to seek Him through Christ. You've got to seek Him along straight paths. You've got to seek Him along old paths. You better seek Him first. Don't be seeking a solution to your problem first, because He's not going to solve that first. Another thing I can say with complete confidence, Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. You need to seek Him early. You need to seek Him early. Yes, there are old people that get saved. Yes, there are people that have had long, indistinguished careers in sin that get saved. Yes, there are people in the depths of utter depravity that get saved, and I'm glad for that. But I want to say the proportions are low. Right? You need to find God early. Now look, seek Him as early as you possibly can. If today is the first day that you've really understood this whole matter, then it's early enough. If you've gone through your entire lifetime blind and didn't get it, it's still early enough. If for the first time today you've really, really been convicted as a Christian even, about the nature of your fellowship with God these days, it's still early enough, okay? I'm not trying to draw a line, I'm not trying to close the window artificially or anything like that. I'm not just trying to scare somebody. I just want to say that while you think about whether it's early enough, there are some things that you could consider. Life is short. Now, if you're 24 years old, you may not think so. I was 24 yesterday. I woke up this morning, I was 52. And I know you say, oh, yeah, that's old man talk. Oh, shut up. The fact of the matter is, anybody that's 40 years old knows that time flies, brother. I mean, when you're 35 and 40 years old, your life is, by all statistics, halfway over. And I can look back on 50-plus years. And it's not like I've forgotten the decades. I just can't imagine how it was that Seth would wind up now with three kids. I'm nowhere near old enough to be a grandfather three times. Where'd the time go? Brother, life is short. I remember high school. I remember being a freshman, and there are things I didn't like in high school, things I did. I'm thinking, man, being a senior, it's going to take forever. Went to college. I was in college 5 years, and then college, Bible school, 3 more years. 8 years in college. Seemed like forever. Look back now. Man, is it just yesterday. It's gone. I don't have regrets. I'm not saying that I haven't sown good crops and reaped some of them and all that. I'm just saying life is short, and if you're 17 and think not, when you're 27, you'll think so. Life is short. Furthermore, I can take you to headstones of people that died before they were 25. They thought life was long too, and it turned out to be so. Look, you need to seek God early. You know why? Because life is short. And I'll tell you why else. Even as a Christian, urgency fades. How many people have been under conviction to get saved, to do the right thing, to deepen a relationship they already have with Jesus Christ? And over a period of weeks, distractions enter. There's 1,000 things that happen. Bills have to be paid. Something happened with a wife. Something happened with the kid. I got another job, moved to another town, etc., etc. Before you know it, That urgency that moved you to tears at an altar to try to deepen a relationship with Jesus Christ is gone, and you don't feel the urgency anymore. Life is short. Conviction wears off. Urgency fades. Your conscience gets calloused. How many times do you pray poorly? And before you know it, you prayed poorly for 6 weeks. After 6 months, you pray hardly at all. What happened? You got calloused. You got calloused. If you're going to find God, you're going to have to seek Him. If you're going to seek Him, you need to seek Him early. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. Sin sets in and callouses things over as well. Conscience becomes seared. Conscience becomes defiled. How's your relationship? Christian, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? You need to seek Him early. If you're convicted now, seek Him now, as early in the process as possible. Because you ain't getting any younger. Life isn't going to get any simpler. And the days don't get brighter as we go along. We just go deeper and deeper into perilous times. Amen? Romans chapter 13, verse 12 applies to me and you here today, those of us that are saved. The night is far spent. And Paul wrote that in 60 AD. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Seek Him early. If you can find Him before 6 in the morning, do so. If you can find Him before we progress further here today, you need to do so. Seek Him early. Look in Psalm 27, just a couple more things real quick. Psalm 27. You have a God that may be found. I'm glad for a God that is not unobtainable. I'm glad I can know God. I have to know Him and seek Him through Jesus Christ, through old paths, in the straight ways. I got to seek Him first. I need to seek Him early. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You need to seek Him responsively, actively. He already sought you, so He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Did you come? See, here this guy says, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I mean, that's responsiveness. Anybody else live where I live, where sometimes as a parent, you've said something to your kid and your kid doesn't respond? Ask a question and say, would you go take out the trash? And he just looks at you with that incomprehensible moron look. Hey, I'm not just talking about Joseph here. Don't you laugh at me. Don't laugh at him. It's happened with all my kids, okay? But anybody else live there? Well, just think about this fact here in verse 8. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Immediately, enthusiastically, responsively. When the Lord says, pray, what's your response? When the Lord says, seek, what's your response? Is it responsive? Is it active? These days, folks say they're seeking God and it's nothing but passivity. They're sitting listening to a rock musician. And they think that's seeking God. That's not seeking God. It's just not. Look at one more thing. Look at Isaiah 34. And this will be obvious for you Bible believers here. Isaiah 34. And there's a long prophetic context to this. We'll limit ourselves to just this. Verse 16. Isaiah 34, 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Need to seek Him early. Need to seek Him first. Need to seek Him actively and responsively. You're going to seek Him through Jesus Christ or you're wasting your time. You've got to seek Him through old paths or you're largely wasting your time. You've got to seek Him along straight paths or you're wasting your time. And brethren, if you're not seeking Him out of the book, you're wasting your time. Reading the book, having the book taught to you, having the book preached to you. Brother Ward mentioned to me this morning that he listens to me all the time, sometimes almost all day. I thought, poor man. Got to go do the dialysis, and so he has CDs and a little player and sits and listens to, of all people, me. He has no taste whatsoever. But, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, but if you're not seeking Him by listening to the preaching and by being taught from the book and by reading from the book, you are wasting your time. And you're not seeking Him at all, and I dare say, you're not going to find Him. You're not going to find Him but inside that book. Turn to one more verse for me. Jeremiah 29, that was the last point. This is the last verse. Jeremiah 29. Look, I know that this is a little bit designed in hopes that somebody would be here lost. It applies for us that are saved as well. I know that there's no new theology here for anybody this morning. But I know that I have a God that can be found. If He's going to be found, I have to seek Him. And I have to seek Him in the right way, because you can seek God wrong. There's this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now the context is the captivity of Babylon, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform My good word toward you, and causing you to a return to this place, Jerusalem. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This applies especially for those of us that are here this morning, us Christians. The Bible says that God's thoughts are multiplied to us, right? We're not His enemies anymore. We're not His adversaries anymore. He thinks of us lovingly, right? Kindly. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon Me, ye shall go and pray unto Me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with all your heart. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. He said, I am happy to have been found by you Christians. And I will be found in fellowship by you Christians if you will seek Me with your whole heart. He said, I can be found. And I wonder this morning, I'm not talking about your salvation, I'm wondering if you find Him. I had to turn this into a Christian sermon a little bit, but have you found Him? See, now, Brother Stevens, I'm about three quarters backslidden. Well, join the rest of us, I suppose, in some ways, but really, have you found Him? How long has it been since you sought Him the right way and actually found Him? Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, thank You this morning for these good folks that came out to do what we said, which is hear the Word of God, to seek Thy face. Lord, I hope this morning that we might have had a little part in helping someone find You. Maybe it's a reestablishment of a bond that has grown a little bit stale, a little bit cold. We just came through revival meetings this last month. And Father, we must always be on guard that things grow cold even after revival meetings. Pray this morning that You would apply the Holy Spirit to these things as only You can. Father, we are reminded of things that we know. We know Jesus Christ is the way. We know that the old-fashioned ways are best. We know it's a straight way and a narrow way. May You remind us that we must seek You first, that we must seek You early, that we must seek You actively and responsibly, and of course that we must seek You from the book. Pray, Father, You'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 125. Let's stand. 125.
now plays. And it's no secret what I'm going to say next. It's no secret how this works for anybody that's been here any time at all. I'm just asking you to examine where you're at with the Lord right now. Some of the problems and worries and cares and frets that you have would be largely resolved, or at least absolved in part, if you took more time and more care with your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what we've said this morning. I'm not saying all the problems would go away. I'm not saying that they would all dissolve away into nothingness. But I'm saying the pain would be eased if you would deal with those things the way that we have talked about here this morning. I'm not a mystic, esoteric, ultra-spiritual type. But I know that when I successfully find the face of God through Jesus Christ, the problems that I have, the pain that I suffer, is nowhere near as bad as it would be without. In a room this size with this number of people, there is statistically almost always somebody here that, in spite of a profession, and probably in spite of being saved, really does not actively pursue an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And by that relationship, I mean in faith and in fellowship. You have a Bible. You have salvation. You've got friends that pray for you and love you. A pastor that'll counsel you. But do you really have a friendship with God through Jesus Christ? Life is short. Better seek Him as early as possible. If you're 52 years old like me, it's still early enough, but I wouldn't wait much longer. Now, Father, as we're dismissed this morning, we're grateful for Your goodness to us. We're glad for answered prayers and You getting Jessica home, getting Kim home. And I pray You'd help those ladies as they're still under the weather for a while. We appreciate, Father, the opportunities to go out and street preach and pass out tracts and parades and fairs and all the things we do. I'm glad for the kids getting a chance to go down to Extreme Weekend here, or Extreme Week, I should say, this week. I pray You'd grant them safety in going. And, Father, may they be profited by the money they've spent and the time that goes into this. Father, I pray for the camp. Pray You'd help them in that there. Lord, we love You. We need You, and we need to be close to You. We need a God that we have found that we can go and find on regular occasions. Help us, Lord, to pursue this very worthy pursuit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. See y'all tonight. 5:30 for prayer meeting, 6 for service.